This is It Takes Two. Amy Eiler, JJ Gordon. He's Too Tall Tom Szymanski and joins us in his weather cave today. We missed you yesterday, big guy.
Did you really?
Yeah, we even had listeners calling in and asking where the heck you were for tidbits.
I was scared of them. I stayed away. But instead of yesterday, now we have the Wednesday's World of Wild, Wacky, Winterless Weather.
How's that sound? I like that.
Yes, winterless is the key.
Wacky, winterless weather Wednesday.
Should we call you Wom Womansky?
You can call me whatever you want, man.
Oh, Wom Womansky. Oh, that's going to be hard to say really fast. Now do it with the entire tidbit's name.
Wom Womansky's Wearably Widdle Widbits Wooday.
So hard.
Listen, I'm not Buckwheat from the Little Rascals. I can't master that thing the way other ones
can.
See,
this stumbles even the professionals. See, don't try this at home, please.
Well, Too Tall's Tidbits brought to you by FM Water Systems of West Fargo. Life is better with Connecticut Water. FMWaterSystems.net. Tom.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we should normally be experiencing. Now, I know we don't like the word normal, but average, I think, is a little bit better, right?
Yeah. You know, quite honestly, I really do not like the word normal, because when someone says, the average high today is 83. When somebody says it's the normal high is 83, the first impression people get are it's supposed to be 83, when in fact that's really not true. Do you know how these come about? Do you know how the averages come about?
I assume you're adding up every single temperature from the last 100 years of recording and then just dividing it by that number, right?
Well,
that simple?
It's close. It's every 30 years. So every decade, it gets adjusted up another decade. So what we're doing right now is the average high temperature of 83 today is compiled from the year 1981 through 2020, okay? So once 2020 is over, then the new averages will be from 1991 to 2030. Let me stand up again. 81 to 2010. And then and once we get through this year, it'll be from 91 to 2020. That's where I got my years off there. So if you take every high temperature on this date since 1981 through 2010, add them all up, divide by 30, boom, you get the number 83.
Oh, that's interesting. Considering we've had some pretty major changes in temperature in the last decade. And so, I mean, do you think that they'll ever change that model and maybe try and keep it? You know, it works for 2011. It works for 2012, right? But now we're almost 10 years away from what that average temperature reading would be.
Well, see, I think they used the 30 years to incorporate long-term averages, but you can see some changes as you go along. For instance, the prior averages that went from 71 to 2000, there was actually a lower amount of precipitation during a given year expected because, you know, that did not totally incorporate the wetter spell we went into during the early 90s. So the averages do swing every time you get into a new decade by just a little bit. So this incorporates two things, A, long-term, and also B, the little changes you can get as you move along through that 30-year cycle.
Gotcha. Yeah. We have been warmer than last year.
Oh, yeah, by a lot. Yeah, we've had 12 90-degree days so far.
Oh, my gosh.
We usually get 13 on an average summer.
Right.
Of course, that doesn't mean it's supposed to be that way. Let me just say, too, that I'll use a crude example here. If on one particular year the temperature is zero for high, and the next year on the same date the temperature reaches 100 degrees. This is very simple math. The average of those two is very simple, right? It's 50.
Right.
Does 50 represent any one of those 2 years? The answer would be no. So normals or averages don't represent what it is supposed to be or what it has to be at this time of year.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's what it's at.
Can I ask a question? The other day, the overnight low was 57.
Right.
I thought that I was like, I can't remember the last time I saw a temperature in the 50s this summer. Have we been having cold nights, or have we been having still really warm nights?
Really warm nights, to be honest with you, because the average low has been around 59 or 60. So 57 is not that far off from the average. But the fact that we have had so many hot days, and we have also recently gotten some more moisture into the air, that does keep the overnight lows a little warmer. We've had a lot of nights where the sky has been partly to mostly cloudy, so that tends to hold the temperature up just a bit too. So it has been quite noticeable on the overnight low set up as well.
Okay, here's a great question that I got over the weekend.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I've been waiting to ask you this. Do more storms form over Minnesota because they have more open water, bodies of water?
Well, I don't know if more storms actually form over Minnesota, but water does actually aid in evaporation. And, of course, we talked about that big word last time we did, Tip. It's evapotranspiration. You get the vegetation in the soil adding moisture to the air as well. So you can get thunderstorms developing over the lakes areas as well. But a lot of times, too, early in the summer, when the lakes are colder temperature, that can actually hold down the chance for thunderstorms. But now that the lakes are warming up, we're in July already, that tends to perhaps add to the evaporation to the air. So whether or not it forms more thunderstorms than North Dakota remains to be seen. I don't believe so, because in North Dakota, there's another added feature that we have a lot of, and that is out west, where you get some of that elevation out west in the Badlands. That helps to develop some storms out there as well.
Let's talk tornadoes.
Ooh. Can we please?
Oh, my. They have been terrifying. Mm-hmm. And this is...
They always are.
Well, yeah, they always are. Not only has this year been a bit warmer, but more tornadic activity around our parts, right?
Seems that way. North Dakota seems gets like about 20 a year. I haven't the total off the top of my head so far, but North Dakota usually averages about 20. Minnesota gets more, bigger state, further south and east. Especially the southeastern part. South Dakota gets a little bit more. But it seems that way, and especially making headlines was that big tornado that recently occurred over around the Dalton area. That was an EF4, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, the video of that is just...
Did you see some of that video?
I mean, it is...
That was amazing.
Yes, so moving. It's so scary. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
That's going to be studied a lot, because that's some of the most incredible close-to-tornado video that I have ever seen. Now, people have to be crazy or stupid to do that, you know, because you're risking your life to do that. But if the video is obtained like that, boy, I tell you what, that's going to be studied a lot in schools and in labs and things like that.
So tell us about these storm chasers, as they call themselves.
Yeah.
Are they able to predict where the tornado is going, so to keep themselves in a safe position? I mean, it seems, or could you tell where a tornado is going from one point to the next 10 miles?
Yeah, on the Doppler radars you can. The trained storm chasers actually do have Dopplers inside their vehicles, or access to a Doppler radar. So if you're trained and you know what you're looking at, yes, you can see the movement of tornadoes. But even with the Doppler radar, guys, tornadoes can inexplicably change direction at the last second. And there have been some instances where storm chasers have narrowly escaped, or a few years ago, there were a few that died.
Wow. Tom, have you ever worked with like a storm chasing team or been on site for one of those?
I haven't officially worked with a storm chasing team that actually was a named storm chasing team. I've worked at TV stations where we have sent reporters out, and they were to stay very close, pay very close attention to what I was telling them as to how close they should go or where they should go, where I thought the tornadoes might form, where's the best chance, drive out in this direction, but if it gets a little dicey, turn around and come back.
Wow. I mean, I'm just amazed by that. And of course, you get a movie like Twister, which kind of makes it look romantic,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Sharknado.
All this exciting. Yep, and you get the Sharknados of the world as well.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of falsities in Twister, and it did spawn the Twister generation. Storm chasing really took off after that movie.
You know, as people get into this, are there also a lot of people who are amateur meteorologists? Are there people who are trying to take
I talk to them every day.
Yeah, I bet. But, I mean, I know there are some people who get the rain gauge and they send in their numbers for the rain gauge. Are there also people who are tracking things like radar and Doppler that they might have on their own?
Oh, yeah. You can access radar right off the internet now. So, as opposed to, many, many years ago, when I first got in the business, there was no such thing as the internet. So people totally depended on what they saw on TV. There was absolutely zero access to radar. Now you can find it on the internet. And if you look at a radar, you can probably, even as an amateur, see where the rain is and where the heavier rain is and where the possible hail is just by looking at the color scheme on a radar map. So, yes, there are a lot of amateur meteorologists out there, but it's one thing to look at a radar and say it's raining here. It's another one thing to predict what's going to be happening hours and even maybe even days ahead.
Let's get to the phone lines. Arlene, you're on with Too Tall. Go ahead.
Hello.
My question is, it looks like it's not raining in those videos. Is that customary, or is that something that makes those videos so much clearer.
Are you talking about the tornado videos?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It doesn't look like it's raining.
Well, a lot of times it depends upon what side of the tornado you're videoing it from. And there are instances where we call them rain-wrapped tornadoes where you can't see them at all. It just looks like a big giant cloud reaching down toward the ground. And inside that huge cloud somewhere is the funnel. A lot of times tornadoes are preceded by large hail as well. It just depends upon what orientation you are with respect to the tornado. Is it coming toward you? Oh. Is it going away from you? Is it going sideways? These are all things that you have to keep in consideration.
Spectacular view, though.
Yeah. Thanks, Arlene. Thanks for
the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it. There's another text question in here at 35270. That text club is sponsored by 702 Communications. How much of a clear area do I need for a rain gauge for accuracy?
Well, it's best if it's obviously not underneath your gutters at home or underneath a tree. So if you can find an area outside that, 10 yards by 10 yards, you're okay,
Sure.
100 square yards, you'd be fine. Even 50 square yards, as long as there's nothing overhanging it from any direction. Because if the wind comes from a certain direction and, say, a tree blocks it off, then you might get an inaccurate measurement.
Sounds good. Tutel, thanks again for joining us for a little tidbits on a Wednesday today.
Oh, my goodness. It was fun. Thanks, guys.
It was wonderful.
It was wacky.
Oh, it was you wild. Too. Okay.